Well, good morning and happy Easter to you. So glad that you are here. My name is Chris. I get privileged to serve as senior pastor here at Second Baptist. And so we are so grateful that you've chosen to worship with us today. We celebrate. We have church every Sunday for this reason of this very day is because Jesus is alive. And so we look forward to this time to celebrate, to give special attention to all that the Lord has done for us. And so I'm excited about that. I'm excited in a little bit to talk to you about hope and how we can have hope. And so looking forward to our time together. And so let me just give you a few announcements. First of all, let me say a welcome to any and to all of our guests, whether for the first time or maybe the first time in a long time. We would love to connect with you. Some of you may be visiting with family and you have a church home, and that's great. I want you to be faithful there, but maybe you're visiting today, potentially looking for a church home or looking to get back involved in church, whatever the case may be. We would love to know that you're worshiping with us, love to connect with you. We can do that in one of a couple ways. One way is there's a card in the pew back in front of you. If you would fill that card out just to say, hey, I'm a guest, I'm here today. At the end of our service, we'll have an opportunity to give as we leave, and you can leave that in the offering plate, or you can leave it there in the pew where you're seated, whatever the case may be. We would just love to connect with you. Or you can go to our website, whether here in person or we may have guests joining us online. You can go to our website, sbcr.org, and there's a button that says, I'm new. You click that button and fill that information out. And that's a way for us, to, again, to connect with you, know who's worshiping with us, and how we might be able to serve you. And so we would love to connect with you that way, meet you, and visit with you. I would love to meet you after the service. I'll be around. Please come find me, introduce yourself. I'd love to meet you. By way of a couple of announcements, first of all, no evening service tonight. We want you to be able to, after service, go and enjoy time with family or enjoy just a day of rest, whatever the case may be. Want you to have that time. And then also, just been a really busy week, a lot of things happening. And so the office is closed tomorrow so that our staff can have an opportunity to rest. And so our office is closed tomorrow. We will reopen on Tuesday. And so thank you so much for that. And then finally, just want to mention to you our Wednesday night activities. They're up and going. We have activities for all of our kids, all ages, really. And so we have our children's activities. We have our youth, our student activities. We have a free meal at 5:30, and then we have our collegiate service and activities as well. A free meal for our college students at 7:15, service at 8 o'clock. At 6 o'clock is when our children's and student activities, and I lead an adult prayer meeting right here at 6 o'clock each Wednesday night. So there's a lot of things that happen on Wednesday night. We'd love for you to come and be a part of that. And just know that as summer is coming, a lot of things are coming and happening, Vacation Bible School and all sorts of activities. So we'd love for you to connect with us and be a part of those ministries. And then finally, I'm leading a team to Ghana this summer, Ghana, Africa. And so giving and opportunities for that have already begun. There's a bulletin board over in our ministry opportunities area and just opportunity to give for that. And then just be praying as in a few weeks we'll have an opportunity as a church family to take up an offering and help support that mission and that work that will be taking place. Okay? All right, well, we are going to get started just quickly this morning. There's a lot of different things that will take place today. Obviously, we're going to sing and I'm going to preach. But a couple additional items that will take place today is we are going to take of the Lord's Supper. And we are also going to get a chance to see some folks follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And so I'm really excited about that. And so what we want to do at this point in our service, we just want to hit pause and prepare our heart for the service, prepare our heart for the singing and the preaching and all that's going to take place, and also prepare ourselves for the Lord's Supper. And so the Lord's Supper is for those who have professed their faith in Jesus. They've been born again. They've been saved. They followed the Lord in baptism, and they're a part of a church that's of similar faith and order of ours. That means you don't have to necessarily be a member of Second Baptist Church to take up the Lord's Supper. We just believe that an individual ought to be walking with the Lord and be a part of a local church somewhere. And so, as we get ready to take of the Lord's Supper, Paul cautioned us in 1 Corinthians and just said, hey, you need to be careful that you don't take of the Lord's Supper, quote, in an unworthy manner. And what he meant by that is that there's not unconfessed sin in our life. There's not some things that man, just going on. We're living in blatant sin, and we're in just total disregard of what the Lord wants for us, how he wants us to live and serve. It doesn't mean that we're sinless and we're perfect. That only comes when we get to heaven, but we are walking as clean and close to the Lord as we can. And so here in just a moment, we're going to have a time of prayer, time of intentional focus. And I want to encourage you that during this time, maybe there's some things that you just need to get right with the Lord. You need to confess with the Lord so that you're in a place where you're ready to receive the Lord's Supper when we take it in just a moment after we finish praying. And so this is a moment for us to check our heart, to just spend a moment and focus on Him as we get ready to take of the Lord's Supper. So if you would bow your head and close your eyes, and in just a moment of reflection, a moment of seeking the Lord, just ask the Lord, is there anything in my life that I need to confess, I need to get right? Just spend a moment confessing that to Him. Spend a moment of thanking God for who He is and for what He's done. Ask God just to help you quiet your heart and your mind. I know Easter Sunday is a busy time. It's a busy day, busy morning, a lot of things going on. And so just spend a moment asking Him to help you focus. God in heaven, I thank you for today. I thank you for all that you are and all that you do. Lord, I pray that you would help us to focus our heart and mind on you, Lord Jesus. God, I pray that all that we say and do here today would glorify you. Lord, thank you that we celebrate today Resurrection Sunday, that you are alive. And God, we pray this very moment because you are alive, Jesus, and you hear us. And you answer the prayers of your people. And so, God in heaven, I pray that you would do abundantly above all that we could ask, imagine, or hope for. I pray that you'd prepare us, and that God, as we take of the Lord's Supper in a moment, that it'd be an incredible time of reflection of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And so God, you be with us in this time. We pray and ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, as Jesus prepared to go to the cross, in preparation for that, he gathered with his 12 disciples and he took of the Lord's Supper, this last supper. And they broke bread and they drank of the cup. And Jesus commands that we ought to do this in remembrance of Him, in remembrance of exactly what God has done for us in giving His Son Jesus, who was sinless and perfect. He died on the cross, He was buried, and He was raised from the dead. And so as we take of this, this is an opportunity for us to remember, to celebrate a time of reflection as we take of the Lord's Supper. Now here in just a moment, we've got kind of the, I call it the all-in-one cup. It's sort of the ready-made cup that it has the juice, and then on top there's a layer you peel off, and it has this thin wafer of bread there. And it's important for us as we think about this and celebrate this, as we focus on these elements. Now, listen, this is just a cup of juice and a unleavened bread. There's nothing special about it. And honestly, there's nothing special that happens when it enters us. But the moment in which we reflect and we recognize these symbols and what they mean to our faith and what Jesus has done is what gives the power, what gives the weight to this time. And so here in just a moment, I'm going to let you maybe get a head start. If you have that cup, you may want to peel back very carefully that top layer that has the wafer. And then prepare for the next layer, if you will. It's not necessarily the easiest, so I'll sort of give you a running start here. And so with that, in 1 Corinthians 11, in Paul giving instructions about taking of the Lord's Supper, he says this, he said, "For I received from the Lord that which also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let me pray. Jesus, as we celebrate and God, we reflect on what you've done. God, even in that moment before going to the cross, that you sacrificed your body on the cross for every one of us. And God, today we are thankful for that. And God, as we reflect upon that and we take of this Lord's Supper, God, we pray you would bless this and that, God, we would do it in a way that honors and pleases you. And we thank you for it. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may take and eat. Paul then goes on. He says, "In the same manner also, he took the cup after saying, 'This is the cup of my new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Let me pray and ask God and thank him for this. God in heaven, Jesus, we thank you that upon the sacrifice of your body, that Lord Jesus, Scripture says you spilt your blood to cover our sins, to pay the penalty for our sins. Lord, your word says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, there is no forgiveness of sins. And so God in heaven, thank you that as we take of this, we remember the sacrifice and we worship you and recognize, God, today is not worth being here without this sacrifice. And so, Lord, we thank you for it and we ask you to bless it. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may take and drink. And so here in just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. And we're going to sing about the blood and the sacrifice of Jesus. And so as we sing this morning, let me encourage you to be mindful of this moment and thanking God for what he has done through his son Jesus. So if you will, let's stand together and sing unto the Lord.
That's right. Amen. It's been already a wonderful service. Amen. As we have celebrated our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the fact not only that he went to the cross and died for our sins there and he was buried, but that he rose again, triumphant over death and sin on that first Easter morning. Amen. It's a privilege for me, and I'm excited to be here today at this point in the service as we celebrate believers' baptism. And it's such a great and wonderful thing to happen on Easter Sunday because of what it represents. The Bible tells us that baptism is a symbol of what happened in Jesus, and that he was buried and that he rose again. And just as we place our faith in Jesus Christ and what he already has done for us on the cross, this symbol, as we place our faith in him or repent of our sins, the Bible tells us that we are buried with Christ into his death and we're raised to walk in newness of life. Isn't that the wonderful thing about Easter? The hope of Easter is that we can have new life in Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not here to preach. That's Pastor Chris's job this morning. But I wanted to share that with you because this is a wonderful symbol, again, of what Christ has done for us. We have three individuals today that want to come and be baptized. First of all, we have a college student. Her name is Caitlin. Some call you Kate. And Kate actually attended on Tech Sunday just a few months ago, and then shortly after that began attending our college worship service on Wednesday night. And she had questions about salvation and really wrestling with that. And then in the process of talking with her, I had the opportunity to talk with her, Pastor Chris, as well as some college students, and just walking with her through understanding what salvation is and just even in her life, what God is doing and what he wants to do for her. She came to faith in Jesus Christ one Thursday night at a Baptist Collegiate Ministry. They're gathering on campus. Pastor Chris was there, and Kate came to him afterwards and said, I've been miserable all day because I know I need Jesus. And she nailed down her salvation that Thursday night. Amen. So I'm going to ask Kate to come in, and we're going to allow her to follow in believer's baptism today. Kate has many of her family here today. If you're with her today, would you just kind of wave your hand? And all right, there's her family. Thank y'all for coming and being a part of this today. Kate, I'm going to ask you just a few questions, okay? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son? Do you believe that he died on the cross for your sins and that he rose again, triumphant over death and over sin?
Yes.
Amen. Have you repented of your sins and you've chosen to follow him as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. See, that's what the Bible says, that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, then what? Yes. Amen. I was waiting. That's a good Sunday morning answer. You will be saved, for whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Okay? Because you have professed faith in Jesus Christ and repented of your sins, and you believe that he died on the cross for your sin, and he has done what is necessary to pay the price for your sins. I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ into his death, raised to walk in newness of life. KJ or Kaylee here this morning. She has several of her friends and family. KJ started attending our Wednesday night youth services about a month ago, a little over a month ago now. And then one night, I had the opportunity to really give a powerful gospel presentation, and she decided to follow Jesus that night. She repented of her sins, and it was so cool this past Wednesday night. I was talking with her, and she's been excited about this day right here. She said, Mr. Jonathan, she said, my life has changed. Amen. That's what's supposed to happen. When you give your heart to Jesus, there is a change, because therefore, if any man is in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So I'm going to invite KJ to come as she follows God and Jesus in believer's baptism. All right, KJ. Also, Kaylee, right?
Yes.
Kaylee, do you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son?
Yes.
Do you believe that, He came and that He died on the cross for your sins and that He rose again, triumphed over death and sin?
Yes.
Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ and repented of your sins and have followed Him as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Since you have confessed your sins and repented and you have a desire to follow Him, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ into His death, raised to walk in the newness of life. All right. Also this morning, we have KJ's mom, Jessica. She actually, very early on in life, she came to faith in Jesus Christ. She repented of her sins. But when she heard that KJ had done the same thing, I had an opportunity to talk with her. She wanted to be baptized again for a couple of different reasons. One, to show her support for her daughter and her daughter's desire to follow Jesus. But also as a sign of recommitment that she is saying to even her family today and those of us here who are witnessing this, that she desires to continue to follow Jesus. And so I want to invite Jessica to come on in. All right, Jessica. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son?
Absolutely.
Amen. Do you believe that He died on the cross for your sins and that He rose again, triumphant over? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
You don't even get it out,
yep,
right?
Absolutely.
Have you confessed your sins and you have a desire to follow Him with all that you
yes,
are?
Yes, I have.
Amen. All right.
Hallelujah.
Okay, we're just going to go straight down. Okay. All right, because you have confessed your faith in Jesus Christ and repented of your sins, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Bear Christ into His death, raised to walk in the newness of life. There may be some here today that maybe you too have had a desire to follow Jesus and you have repented of your sins. I want to challenge you, even in this moment, follow Jesus in believer's baptism. He was baptized. He didn't need to be baptized, but He gave us an example. And I think it is an incredible step of obedience in our walk with God to be baptized. And I just challenge people, go ahead and do it. If you haven't done it, do it. If you truly are following Jesus, and just see what God will do in your life. Amen. Pastor Chris.
Well, amen. You have your Bible, and I hope that you do. If you do not, that's all right. We will have the text on the screen for you. But if you'll turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Well, it's been an active service this morning, and that's a good thing as we have celebrated the Lord through His sacrifice, the death and burial of His Son Jesus. As we remember the sacrifice He's given us through the taking of the Lord's Supper, we have saying about His resurrection and the salvation and hope that we have in Him. We have already heard and seen also a physical demonstration of salvation and that picture of the death, burial, and resurrection as we are laid in a water grave. Now, Pastor Jonathan did a great job explaining that it's just a symbol of what happens in us. But as every person, as you follow the Lord in baptism, if you took that step, you preached your first message by proclaiming that we are buried with Him, we are buried, but then we are raised to walk in the newness of life. And there's the proclamation of the gospel, is that if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. And this morning from our text in 1 Peter chapter 1, I want to preach to you about a living hope. Living hope. And I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what struggle or maybe great season of life that you're in, but it may be that you showed up today, yes, going through the motions. Yes, everything seems to be all right and you're making it through. But if you were really gut level honest this morning, you might be saying, Pastor, if I'm honest with you, man, I don't have much hope right now. I'm struggling with having much hope. Life is tough. Life is difficult. My world's been turned upside down. It may be that you're just going through and maybe asking, is this all that life has to offer? Man, I need a little bit of hope. I need something to help me to carry on, to press on. And so if that's you this morning, I'm glad that you're here because I want to preach to you on this very idea of hope and where we can find hope. And so I'm going to ask, we like to do this, and when we read the Word of God, at least as our main text, we stand, and it's a way for us to honor and recognize that this is the living, perfect Word of God. So if you will, if you found your place, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? And I'm going to read 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3, 4, and 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Let me pray. Precious Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for the message that we've seen and heard today. And God, I pray that you would help us to see from the Word of God this morning that we can have hope. Give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. Fill me with your Spirit. I pray for every person in this room. God, for any who may not know you, God, I pray that you would save them. And those that do, God, would you stir up the hope that is in them. Give them grace today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. If you're taking notes this morning, the main idea of our text is this, is that God desires every person to live with hope. God desires that every person in this room that we live with hope. We have this hope that is alive. And so then the question of the text just begs this. It's the idea that do you have hope today? Do you come to this day with a sense of hope? Do you walk in this room today with a sense of hope? You walk into tomorrow, should he tarry, with a sense of hope. Well, let me talk to you from 1 Peter chapter 1 and share some truth with you. I want you to see six realities about hope from our text this morning. Six realities about hope. And so number one, see the Savior of our hope. The Savior of our hope. Look at chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to hit pause right there. He has said a mouthful. That word blessed, if you write or mark or underline your Bible, next to that word blessed, you might write eulogy. Eulogy is when we, that portion when we stand at a funeral, and we oftentimes that's when it happens most, is that we eulogize. We talk about the individual that we are celebrating that day and thinking about, and we're talking about all the good things, all the great memories, all the things they've accomplished, all those sorts of things. And so here, Peter starts with this. He says, blessed, eulogize, brag on who God is and what He's done. So this is what he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the text this morning, I want you to see, the only way that we have hope is it's found in our Savior. So listen to what it says. Blessed be the God and Father, listen, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Three important names, three important even descriptions of who Jesus is and what He's done. First of all, Lord, listen, this is what we need to remember this morning, is that when you go to your house and you have to pull out your key and use the key to open the door of your house, it is a very small key that opens a large door to your house. This is a very small key that unlocks the door to salvation, that Jesus is Lord. It means He is master, He is boss, He is ruler, He reigns in those of us that have salvation, that we've experienced salvation. The only way that happens is that we recognize Him as Lord, as boss of our life. And so Peter says this morning, hey, if you want to have hope, man, we're going to bless God. We're going to glorify God. We're going to worship God and Father of our Lord, the boss master. Then he goes on, he says, Jesus. Jesus. Something fascinating about the name Jesus. The name of Jesus causes a lot of division in our culture, doesn't it? The name Jesus has always caused a lot of division in every culture. Because, friend, everything about your life, everything about whether you have hope or not, everything about what is true and what is real, all hinges on what you do with this Godhead, with Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Hey, listen, let me encourage you. This is free this morning. When you pray, let me encourage you, finish your prayer in the name of Jesus. Because that's where power lies. And that makes it clear to all who are around us, there is one who is alive today. There is one that has conquered sin today. There is one that stepped on hell today, and that is Jesus and Jesus alone. And so he says, blessed be the God and our Father and the Lord, the boss, the master, Jesus. There's one name given among men whereby we must be saved. That is at the name of Jesus where every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Listen to what the scripture says. Of those on earth, those above the earth, and those under the earth. Let me tell you, dear friend, no matter where you spend eternity, no matter where you're at in your life, there will be a day that every person breathing in this room will bow your knee and confess that Jesus is Lord. You simply have the choice to do it now or to wait. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so that last one, that it's not His last name, it's a description of who He is. Jesus is the Christ, is the idea. It means He's the promised one. He's the Messiah. He's the one, we're going to talk at the end, that the Old Testament prophets heard about, and they were looking into the future, waiting on the Messiah to come, waiting on the promise of salvation, waiting on the one that was the fulfillment of the Passover, that He is the Passover Lamb. And so that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to me, dear friend. If you're going to have hope today, if you're going to find hope today, it will be found in a person. And that's in Jesus. And it's in Jesus alone. The only way that you'll have hope in this life, the only way you can have hope and assurance in the next life is knowing what you've done with Jesus. And what have you done with Jesus today? Have you bowed your knee and said, Jesus is Lord? Have you made a public declaration that Jesus is Lord and Master of your life? Listen, what we saw today didn't save a single solitary person. That cold water up there today didn't wash any sins away. The only way we have a washing of our sins away, we celebrated the Lord's Supper because we remember the body, the death, the blood of Jesus. That's what washes sins away. That's why we sing, there is a fountain. There's a fountain filled with blood because the washing of our sins away only comes through the blood of Jesus. And so for you this morning, it may be that you need to respond to Jesus. You need to invite Him to be Lord, Master, Boss of your life, recognizing He is the promised one. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way to salvation. Amen. Y'all say amen faster, I'll preach faster, all right? I know the chicken's getting cold, all right? Acts 4:12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So number one, we need to see the Savior of our hope. Number two, see the salvation of our hope. Look at the text. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. There's a lot to unpack here, so listen this morning. He says, who according, that is Jesus, to His abundant mercy, God through His Son Jesus, His abundant mercy. His mercy is not giving you and I what we deserve. It's holding back what we really deserve. Grace is giving us what we don't deserve. His mercy is holding back, not giving us what we do deserve. And so what does that mean? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. That the penalty and punishment for my sin is death. And it's not just talking about physical death, but it's talking about eternal death. I deserve the full wrath of God because of my sin. Because of what I've done, man, I deserve all of God's righteous, holy indignation poured out on me. But the beauty of this is that God extended mercy when His Son sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross to cover my sin and your sin. And God holds back His mercy. He holds back His righteous indignation judgment because of the sacrifice of what's happened through Jesus. And so He says His abundant mercy toward us. Man, listen, I don't know about you, but I needed His abundant mercy. I've not always been a pastor. I've not always been a preacher. There's a lot of things that if anybody in this room ever knew about, things that I've done, the sins I've committed, I'd be ashamed. But God in His abundant mercy. His abundant mercy. And He goes on, has begotten us again to a living hope. We're getting to that idea of hope, but He has begotten us again. Here's the reality that you and I, being sinful, separated from Almighty God, deserving the full wrath and indignation of God, the only way for us to be right is to be born again. Boy, there was a well-known religious leader in Jesus' day that had heard that he'd heard. He had been longing. They had been waiting for the Messiah, and he's standing back in the shadows, afraid of some of the religious leaders, looking at Jesus' life and ministry. Something begins to stir in him, thinking, man, I don't know what's with this Jesus. What's going on with this? And Nicodemus comes out of the shadows to ask Jesus about what's happening. Man, what does he know? How can he be saved? What's happening and what does it take for salvation? And this is what Jesus responds to him. He says, Jesus answered and said to him, assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He tells Nicodemus he must be born again. Now you may be sitting here this morning like Nicodemus was. Nicodemus hears this and goes, hold on now. How in the world is that possible? How can I go and get back in my mother's womb and go through the process of birth again? And Jesus criticizes him and has a strong word for him and says, man, how can you be a leader and not understand this? But what he says is, Jesus goes on and says, one must be born of the water, the physical birth, and one must be born of the Spirit. And so he says that he has given His abundant mercy and that He has begotten us. That is that we have been born again. If we have a hope, then our hope is because we have been experienced birth anew and afresh. Not gone back to our mother's womb, but rather this born that takes place when the Spirit of God works in us. And that's the picture, right? That's the picture of baptism we just saw, that we are buried. This picture of death takes place, and then we are raised to walk in newness of life. That's what happens to you spiritually when you place your faith and trust in Jesus and you repent. Spiritually, you die, but then spiritually, the Spirit of God brings back to life. He makes you a new creation. That is what it is to be born again. And so if you and I are going to have hope, we need to see the Savior. We need to see our salvation. Listen to this. He says, begot us again to a living hope. Mark or underline living hope. Hope is alive. Why does he call this a living hope? Now you think for a moment about hope that is in your life. Hope apart from Jesus, apart from your faith. Think about various realities and truths of hope and how people have had hope. And what tends to happen when you and I put our hope in something that maybe takes a long time, that takes a process of time, and we're not really sure when the fulfillment of that comes, what tends to happen to us, the further we walk along, the less and less hope we've got about that reality coming true. But listen to me, dear friend, whenever you repent and place your faith and trust in Jesus, you have a new hope and a hope that is in a person. And so this hope is alive because you think about some of the folks in your life, the senior adults, those that have walked a long time with the Lord, and those that have graduated to heaven, that have stepped from this life into eternity, your grandmas and grandpas and others, and think about it as they approach the end of their days more and more, those of that have been born again and walked with the Lord, what were they more sure of than anything? How ready they were from this life to the next. The closer they got to their final date here and got closer they got to heaven, the more they were sure of the reality that is promised to them because they have been born again. Listen, dear friend, as I walk closer with the Lord, as I grow in maturity day by day, hope is alive because it is living in me. And the Christian hope, the more I get closer to Him, the further I walk, doesn't mean it diminishes anymore, but rather it just keeps growing. I know there's a promise for me because Jesus is alive. And man, He walks with me. So the Savior of our hope, the salvation of our hope, and then number three, I want you to see the source of our hope. Look at what He says, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope." Look, here's where that hope comes from, the source of it, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Your hope completely and totally hinges on one reality, that Jesus got up from the grave. Because if Jesus came and lived a sinless, perfect life, He healed the sick, He gave sight to the blind, He was strong against the religious, He met the needs of the poor, He fed the needy, He fed the hungry, He got on the cross and He died. And then if that's all that happened, and you and I once a year we pay homage and we make plans and we make a trip and we go to the burial site and we go to a tomb of Jesus that didn't raise from the dead, then you and I are worshiping a dead false God that has no power. It has no power to set us free from victory of sin. It has no power to promise a resurrection to a new life, to eternity in heaven. Everything of who we are, everything hinges on today. This is why we celebrate Easter. This is why we sing of it. This is why we declare that Jesus is alive. Because if you and I have hope, it hinges on the reality that Jesus raised from the dead. And by the way, this language here, from the dead, is very strong language. And that He was graveyard doornail dead. He wasn't partly dead. He wasn't mostly dead. He wasn't just asleep. But rather, He was dead. Listen to Luke 24, verse 1 through 11. "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and a certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. Why? Because they were convinced. They knew Jesus was dead. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid, they bowed their faces to the earth, said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of Jesus, the other women with them, and they told these things to the apostles, and their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them." And I know it's really easy to go, man, what a bunch of faithless wimps. But friend, if you had been with a man that you'd seen do incredible things for 3 years, seeing he's flesh and blood, but you saw him crucified and dead on Friday, and somebody showed up to your door this morning and said, "Man, you got to come check Buddy out. He's alive." You ain't believing him. You're calling somebody to come get your buddy. He stayed out too late last night. He hang out with the wrong folk last night. Something wrong. But they went to the tomb, and it was empty. And the angels at the tomb, why are you here? This is where dead folks are. You got the wrong address. You're looking in the wrong crowd, bud, because you don't need to look for Jesus among the dead folk, because he's alive. He's risen. And so, friend, let me remind you this morning, everything about our faith hinges on the reality that we celebrate today, that Jesus was dead, but now he is alive. Paul said it this way: if in this life only we have hope in Christ, what's he talking about? He's saying, because in this chapter he's making the argument for the resurrection. He's providing the proofs of the resurrection. And what Paul is saying, he's saying, if you take the resurrection away, if all we have in this life is hope in Jesus, listen to what he says, we are of all men the most pitiable. He said, you take every other religion, every other doctrine of life, every other belief system, every other human, everybody who doesn't even believe that God is real. If you take the resurrection away from the Christian, then he is to be the most pitied among everybody else, because what he believes is a total lie. It's a complete falsehood. There's no power and there's no hope in it. But Paul said, that's not who we are, because Jesus is alive. So friend, if you're going to have hope, you need to see the Savior. You need to see the salvation. You need to understand that the source of our hope is in this resurrection. And then number four, the substance of our hope. So our hope comes from this resurrection, but what's the substance of our hope? Look at verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. The reality and the substance of this hope is twofold. Number one, our hope is in Jesus. And the Bible says that he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He never changes. He never ceases to exist. He never is diminished. Man, he always has been, and he always will be. So the substance of our hope is first Jesus. And then secondly, as we look to eternity and see our hope in the inheritance that we have waiting for us in heaven. And the Bible says here that it's incorruptible. It's not changing. And listen, over the last few years, the economy has been somewhat volatile, right? What do you put investments in? And how do you, man, housing market and buy a house, sell a house, and buy a vehicle, don't buy a vehicle, buy fuel, don't buy, and all these things just fluctuate up and down. And there's all sorts of factors that happen that fluctuate. But listen to me, dear friend. Our inheritance in heaven never fluctuates. Because the one who sits on the throne never changes. He always has been. He always will be. And so we see the substance of our hope. Romans 8:17 said, "And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." 1 Peter 5:4, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." We walk faithfully with Him. He promises a hope and inheritance. Number five, the security of our hope. Look at verse 5. "Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Let me tell you, dear friend, that the need for you today, if you've not surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, is to be born again. That is to repent of your sins and place your faith and trust in Jesus, because He is alive. Amen. And here's the reality. If Jesus is all that He says He is, then you and I will answer for how we respond to Him. And today you have an opportunity to repent, turn from your sin, place your faith and trust in Jesus. I didn't understand all of the gospel. I didn't know much about the Bible, but I knew there was a conviction in me going, man, I'm making some choices. I'm doing some things. There's some things in my life that I need different. I need change, and I can't do it. God, I need you. Man, I bowed my knee and gave my heart to Jesus and said, God, if you can do anything with me, here I am. Take all of me. And listen to what happened. Whenever Jesus saved me, I was born again. But now listen to this. Here's the deal. Is that if you can't earn your salvation and you can't earn your salvation, then friend, you can't keep your salvation. But listen to me, dear friend. It's not dependent upon you to keep it. It's God who keeps you. Listen to what He says. "Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." That you, through faith, place your faith and trust in Jesus. That God works in you and He takes you and He saves you and He places you in His hand. Listen to what John 10 says. He says, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." I don't have time this morning, but the language "can't snatch them out of my hand" is written in such a way that it says no one can snatch them out of my hand, including myself. And this is a direct quote from God. That God saves you in such a way that He keeps you, that you'll walk with Him, you'll follow Him, you'll trust Him. Man, this is the salvation that God wants you to have. This is the salvation that produces hope, realizing it's not dependent on me, but rather it's dependent on Jesus who is alive. And so this is the Savior of our hope. And this is the source, the security, the salvation of our hope. And then finally, in just a moment, I want to read another verse to you and give you number six. I want you to see there's some spectators to our hope. There's some spectators to our hope. If you were to continue to read in chapter 6, or chapter 1, verse 6, on down to verse 9, he would talk about the testing and genuineness of our faith and walking faithfully with Him and facing trials and difficulties and the security of our salvation. And then you would read in 10, 11, and beginning in verse 12. We're going to read in verse 12 in just a moment. How the prophets were looking ahead, waiting for the day of Jesus to come. Okay, so now pick up in verse 12. "To them it was revealed," talking about the prophets, "that not to themselves but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven." Hit pause there. And so what's he saying? He's saying, man, the Old Testament prophets were looking ahead. They were proclaiming the gospel, saying that a Messiah is coming, the redeemed, man, the redeemed of the Lord. They're going to experience salvation. And Old Testament saints were saved looking forward to the day of Jesus coming. You and I, we are saved on the other side of this, looking back to the day Jesus would come. But man, let me tell you, the prophets were proclaiming this Messiah, the promised one. They were looking to the fulfillment of this age that you and I now have the privilege to live in, that we have experienced the salvation of Jesus, and we have experienced the birth of the New Testament church and living in this covenant with God, that we were aliens because we were Gentiles, but we've been brought in. We have been grafted in. And so the Old Testament's had a seed of looking forward and believing that God was going to do. You and I have a moment where we rest in this, looking back to what Jesus has done, but then getting to experience this moment in human history right now. But there's some spectators that are a part of this. Look at what the end of verse 12 says. Things which the angels desire to look into. Things which the angels desire to look into. Now, I want you to think with me for a moment. The angels do have and have had a front row seat to some pretty cool things. The Bible talks about that they get to go to the presence of God and down into the presence of men just almost as they please, is the way that it seems to indicate. The Bible describes that these company of angels that are around the throne of God, worshiping God for all of creation, seeing the full manifold presence of God. The Scripture says, "Man, no man has seen the full manifold presence of God because it would kill a man." That those of us this side of heaven, we've never experienced that because our sinfulness and the glory and holiness of God, but it seems to indicate that the angels get a front row seat to that. That there's representation above the Old Testament Ark of the Covenant, and where they would go in and make sacrifice, and the presence of God would come down, and man, the seraphim would sit on the edges and look at the presence of God and the sacrifices of God. And man, they get to see God and His activity, and man, all these things. And Jesus said that if He'd have called a man, a legion of angels, thousands of thousands would come and been at the beck and call of the Son of God. Man, the angels get to do some pretty cool things. The angels get to experience some radical, awesome things. So then what in the world, when Peter writes this, he says there's one thing that the angels desire to look into. Now stay with me, church. The context of all of this is the redeeming, saving grace that you and I experience when we surrender our life to Jesus. The prophets of old were looking forward to this period. They were proclaiming, they were saying, man, the Messiah is coming, the salvation is coming. You and I, this side of the cross, experience that. You and I experience, though our sinfulness separates us from God, that God lavishes His love on us through the cross, through the sacrifice of His Son Jesus, that the Spirit of God comes and He draws you, He convicts you, maybe even this morning because of your own sinfulness, that the Spirit of God draws you to Himself, shows you the beauty of His Son Jesus, how He died on the cross and He got up from the grave, that God has shows Himself and go, man, once you were repent and you repent and place your faith and trust in Jesus, and He buries your old way of life. He raises you up to a new man. He places the Spirit of God within you, and because the Spirit of God is in you, then you have the opportunity to cry out, Abba, Father. You have this intimate relationship with God Almighty. And listen to me, the creatures that were created to float around and declare the holiness of God, the creatures that were declared to go back and forth serving God, serving mankind, the creatures that were at the beck and call of the Son of God. Listen to me, church, this morning. The Scripture says they bend over. That's the language that's here. And they look into. You know what they're doing? Go, man, I've experienced some incredible things. Man, I've got to see the holiness of God. I've got to see God get a front row seat to His activity. But I've never got to experience the love and forgiveness of the Father like they have. The things that the angels desire to look into, that you and I, this morning, we can place our hope in. We can place our faith and trust in. There's some spectators to our hope this morning. Dear friend, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're facing. But you can have hope, and it's in Jesus. The most important decision you'll ever make in your life is what you do with Jesus. Some of you are here this morning, and you need to repent and place your faith and trust in Jesus. Some of you are struggling and hurting. And friend, I'm telling you, the only answer in this life worth anything is surrendering your heart and life to Jesus. The Bible says today is a day of salvation. And there may be some of you that, man, you know you surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, but you've been running. You've been far from Him. And you need to come home. If you would, if you'll bow your head and close your eyes. And dear friend, I know, man, just out of respect, would you just be still for just a moment? You may say, Pastor Chris, I need that hope. I need Jesus today. Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'll pray right where you're at, the Bible says God will save you. If that's you this morning, if you want salvation, if you want the hope that we have in Him, I'll lead you in what we call the sinner's prayer, but understand this, words of a prayer have never saved anybody, but it's the attitude of your heart. But if your heart's desire is to be saved, then you pray something like this. Say, dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come into my heart. Wash away my sins. Be the boss of my life. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do, and I'll be what you want me to be. I pray in Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye closed, and I'm just going to ask, if you prayed that this morning and you asked Jesus to save you and you're not ashamed, would you just slip your head up and look right up here at me? Say, Pastor Chris, I prayed that this morning. You just look right up here. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. 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 We're going to have a moment of invitation, and here's what I'm going to ask you. Man, those of you struggling and just need a moment of prayer, the front is open here. I want to invite you to do that, to come, spend a moment praying. And some of you just, man, said a moment ago, and maybe some of you didn't look up, said, man, I prayed and asked the Lord to save me. I'm going to invite you to come down and say, hey, Pastor, I prayed that. If you looked up at me, if you didn't look up at me, I prayed that. And I believe it's the single most important decision you'll ever make in your life. And I want to be an encouragement to you. We're going to pray, and then we're going to have a time to respond to Him. God in heaven, I pray in these next few moments, Lord, we'd be obedient to you. God, we'd respond to how you have for us today. God in heaven, I pray that God, in this moment, that God, you'd restore some hope. You would stir up hope in us, what you've done. Lord, thank you so much for all that you are and all that you do. Pray in Jesus' name. Your main attitude of prayer, and we're going to begin to sing in just a moment. I just want you to spend time praying. Man, if God dealt with your heart and you want to come pray, kneel at this front, you come do that. If you pray to receive Christ, you come. Say, Pastor Chris, I pray and ask God to save me today. However the Lord works in your heart, when we begin to sing, you begin to move.
Have you been to the cross where the Lord
Amen. Well, thank you so much for being here. Let me just share a couple things with you quickly, and we'll dismiss. I'm going to ask some of our men begin to make their way to help take up the offering as we leave today. Let me just ask you to do this. I know that and several indicated that they made a profession of faith, they placed their faith and trust in Christ. That card in the pew back in front of you that I was talking about, let me encourage you to do this. If you'd be so willing, fill that card out, and there's a box that says, "I pray to receive Christ today." I want to, if I can, strongly encourage you, fill that out, check that box, leave it in the pew where you're at, leave it in the offering plate as we leave, whatever the case may be, and we just believe that's the single most important decision you'll ever make, and we just want to come alongside you and be a cheerleader for you and encourage you in any way that we can. So if you'll fill that card out, and if you're a guest, again, we'd love to connect with you. If you'd fill that out, maybe there's a prayer request you want to leave. Maybe you need to follow the Lord in baptism. Again, there's that box on that card as well. And so we would love to connect with you. I'll be out front. I'd love to meet you if you're a guest with us today. Thank you so much for being here. And let's stand as we get ready to pray and dismiss. Thanks again. Happy Easter to you. Let me pray.